Good evening and welcome to our latest TeachNet podcast. This evening I am joined by Dr. Joan Henderson. Joan, you're very welcome.
Thank you very much, Michael.
Joan, let's start. You've a very interesting number. You've two very interesting projects that I learned about last week. You might just tell us about Solace and then we'll talk a little bit about schoolpodcast.org. Tell us a little bit about them both, please.
Certainly, yes. Well, I begin, Michael, with talking about Solace. Solace is an educational charity, and we set Solace up about 2 years ago. And the main driver behind Solace really was a gap in provision of educational support for children in mainstream primary education with additional needs. And when you look at the research statistics right across the island, both north and in the south of Ireland as well, you'll find that about 20% of all children in mainstream primary education have an additional need. And about 1 in 5 of those children, so about 20% of that particular group, will get support from the state. That leaves about 4 in 5 who don't get any support from the state. And therefore, you know, many children are leaving primary school really that, you know, have been lost nearly to their education. They haven't had the support they need to progress. And in many ways, they've been written off at a very, very early age. And so the impetus, I suppose, behind Solace was to try and find solutions to address that process and that particular gap. And so we came up with one particular project shortly after we founded the organisation. We've termed this project Back on Track. And what we do is we recruit retired teacher volunteers. They volunteer 3 hours per week. And they support children, 5 children per week over a period of 15 weeks. And they work with them on a one-to-one basis. And they identify the needs of that child and they work with them to try and improve the likes of their literacy skills, their reading, their maybe spelling, their numeracy skills, whatever it is that the child is struggling with. And sometimes it's just a confidence issue, you know, that they haven't just got the confidence to sort of progress. So at the minute we're working with 200, we're supporting 200 children, and all being well, our plan for this total academic year till the end of June 2012 will be that we'll support 400 children, and obviously we'd like to roll that out right across the island of Ireland, and our plans are to become, you know, a fairly strong charity right across the educational sector over time.
That's fantastic. And yesterday I was at an event yesterday myself. It was European Volunteers Day. And at the moment, do you have any retired teachers here in the south? And if there are anyone,
we're just about to start a wee project in Dundalk, and that would be our first sort of pilot in the Republic of Ireland. Sure. We have piloted it here in the north. We also got Queen's University School of Education to evaluate that pilot independently, which they did all of last year. Brilliant. The findings of that were very, very positive, and obviously allowed us then to move forward with a lot more confidence that, you know, we've got the processes in place to sort of roll this out.
Yes.
We have taken advice from Social Entrepreneurs Ireland actually to try and do a pilot in the Republic of Ireland before we start to look at rolling it out in the Republic. And so we're just about after Christmas to start with developing a pilot there that will run for the next term.
Very good.
And we do the same thing there, and we'll roll that out hopefully on the basis of any extra learning that evolves from that process.
Sure.
We'd then like to try and roll that out beyond, obviously, Dundalk.
Sure. And Joan, if there's anyone out there that's listening to this podcast that would like, they may know somebody, we're expecting a large number of teachers to retire actually from the primary and post-primary systems here in the Republic in the next couple of months. If anybody knows anybody who's interested or somebody who's listening who is retiring, how do they contact the charity?
Yeah, well, the best way to contact us is through email. So I'll give you my email address if you wish.
Yeah.
It's joan@solasbt7, solasbt7.com.
Very good.
We're also on, we have a website, www.solasbt7, solasbt7.com. And all our contact details are on that as well. We have phone numbers and email addresses and so forth. But you'll also get a bit of a flavour as well of what we do by consulting with that particular website. You get a better feel for what we're doing and who we're working with.
So, John, that's very interesting. And what is the link then between Solus and schoolpodcast.org?
Yeah. Well, schoolpodcast.org is part of our trading company, Tonta. Mm-hmm. And basically, we set up the trading arm at the same time as a charity with the idea that over the longer term, our trading arm would be able to generate enough revenue to support the charity.
Gotcha.
And really, that was just taking, I suppose, cognizance of the more difficult funding sort of environment that's out there now, where it's a lot more difficult to access further funding for a project like ourselves. And therefore, at some point in the future, we'd like to be able to sustain our own sort of charitable work with our own projects, you know, with our own sort of initiatives.
Yes.
And, you know, so as a result of that, we started to develop some ideas around what could we actually package that is also going to be educational in terms of its value, has a synergy with the educational outcomes, you know, involved in, with Solus,
mm-hmm.
but also has a commercial value, you know, where you could invite schools to purchase or to buy into.
Mm-hmm.
So with that, we came up with the school podcast idea, and we developed a school podcast product.
Mm-hmm.
And essentially, we're targeting here the issues around literacy and, I suppose, the expanded notion of literacy, where we're looking at trying to improve children's oral skills, their written skills, and also try to do that through digital means and allowing kids to sort of access the sort of whole rambit or whole gambit of digital media that's out there that they're very au fait with anyway, but to actually utilise that to further their own educational development.
Absolutely. And I've been on your website, and it's there's a huge amount of material on it. And just for our listeners, and we'll put this up on the notes with this podcast, but it's schoolpodcast.org. And just tell us a bit more about it. I mean, you have a school section there, you have joined the site, you have training materials, and you have a section, you have a couple of other sections there. Tell us, so why, what kinds of things are schools doing? Where are the schools from? And what kinds of examples have you seen of the use of podcasting that you think would be very interesting to our listeners?
Yeah, I think, well, if you look at the homepage, obviously we've kind of separated out into the report of the week, featured podcasts that we know where they can be rated. You know, anybody who's going onto the site can listen to a podcast, can give it a rating star from 1 to 5, and then that generates a sort of a tag, and that allows us to sort of see which are the most popular or highly rated podcasts. We're doing a very interesting project at the minute called Our Heroes. And if you go to the front page again of our website, you'll see at the very bottom section a number of podcasts around within that project. And we're working here with 5 schools. They're all located in Belfast. And they're from across the community, as in there's some Catholic schools, some Protestant schools, and an Irish medium school. And basically, the idea there was that we would get the children themselves to identify heroes, their own heroes, and then we'd work with them to try and produce video podcasts and audio podcasts. And a lot of them will pick people that they're familiar with, like pop stars, like Rihanna, or maybe their mums or their dads or their grannies. Or they'll pick somebody like Harry Potter, for example. We had a wee kid in Ballygolan Primary School pick Harry Potter. And I show them how to use the likes of Photo Story, and they build up a wee photo story of their hero. So they first of all do the research on their hero. Then they pull together the data. So they research it, they write out a wee script. Then they actually find photographs that would link to that story and, I suppose, tell the story in a sequential manner. And then they start to put it together using the technology, using the photo story. And once they've that done, they put in some maybe background music, and they write and they read out their script. So they're using their literacy skills by writing, you know, wee titles and wee captions to each photograph. And then attached to that, they would also have their audio over that, which would tell the story as well while they're playing it. And so overall, the final package is that, you know, they've taken this topic that they're interested in doing, so they're very, very keen to research it. On top of that, they're actually using the literacy skills. They're able to write the captions themselves. They're going to have to look at spelling them correctly, the right intonation, the right punctuation. And then they're using the technology to kind of pull it all together and give it a real modern feel. and then they can display that and show it to their parents or people outside in the community. So there, you know, there's that side of it. The fact that it's actually available and on display, it means that they are able to get sort of recognition for their work. And many of the kids that we're working with never really get that recognition from home or from the wider community. Sure. And therefore, it's a bit of a boost to their own confidence. And then they start to see themselves as not being the stupid person, but actually somebody that can produce something, and they can point very clearly to something that they have produced. And it's a very high quality.
Yes.
So, you know, overall, it actually covers, I suppose, a lot of, ticks a lot of boxes.
Yes.
But ultimately, it's an educational tool that allows the children themselves to engage with their learning, but use the technology to do that, and to then develop their literacy and oral and written skills in the process.
Yeah, that sounds fantastic. I mean, we would have had some experience here ourselves in the Digital Hub of similar projects, you know, using the podcasts. And I think, you know, that idea of giving them an audience and also allowing them to use, you know, 21st century tools to create publications that they can then put up on the website is fantastic. What software tools, Joan, do you use, and how are the schools able to actually do this?
Yeah, well, software tools used are very simply Audacity for the audio stuff. It's free. It's a free downloadable file from Microsoft. So it's likely that the school themselves already have that downloaded. And the other software tools we use are PhotoStory and Movie Maker. They're the three main tools. Now, we actually have a training manual on our website as well, a training section, where we have put up a number of podcasts, and it shows a step-by-step guide of how to actually download those if you need to. Some of them, as I say, might not be in the schools already, but for the most part, most schools that we go to will actually already have these in place. But as I say, there is a training section. If you go into the training manual, on the top of the homepage, you'll see a number of podcasts, how to use the school podcast site, how to download and install the various programs like PhotoStory, Audacity, and so forth. So, you know, it's a step-by-step guide of how to do that, and we do it by showing you a podcast.
Very good.
So it isn't, it's not, you know, overly complicated, and certainly the technology behind it is very well established now and it's stable. But it really is a case of, I suppose, in the classroom, thinking about how you present and how you teach in a different, slightly different way.
Absolutely.
And an integral way, I suppose, integrating technology into what you're doing. It's not really a bolt-on, but a kind of an integral part of it.
I think that's very important that it is, you know, that you're putting it in at the heart of the literacy strategy, and you know, not kind of something that's a technology driven activity. That, you know, a lot of what you've described there sounds to me like 21st century skills that young people should have anyway. And you know it seems to me that it, you know, you're getting them to identify their interests, and they're then going on and taking the initiative to develop their own materials.
And I mean, there's one really good example of that, you know, literacy skills development. It's through Lochview Integrated Primary School. They have a lot of work done around, they took the team days like this. Mm-hmm. And each school or each child went home and basically asked their parents or asked somebody they knew about a story. Recalling a story of a memory they had, either the child themselves or their parent or whatever. Mm-hmm. And as a result of that, the child themselves was able to pull together, you know, a very, very effective story, which they were able to record, and, you know, they honed their own listening skills, they honed their own speaking skills. Mm-hmm. They used, obviously, the technology to edit in and out bits and pieces that maybe weren't correct. But overall, they really developed their literacy skills, and they were able to effectively tell the story very coherently. Mm-hmm. And then display that on the website. And I think that, from a point of view of, I suppose, an example, pointing to an example of best practice for literacy, I think would have to point you to the Lochview school and that particular process, the Days Like the program, because, as I say, they have about 25, 30 podcasts there that every child has really put a lot of work into, and it has really helped them to be very coherent and very, I suppose, articulate in how they have put across their wee stories.
Yes.
And they have developed their and honed their listening and their literacy skills in the process.
We
need to be very, I think, open to trying to find new ways of using the technology to advance the help and engage children yes. with better literacy and better learning.
Yes, absolutely. And I think that's very interesting. And again, we'll put that up on the notes for the link to that school, maybe up on the notes for the podcast, because I think that yeah. that development of the oral and the oral skills, it seems, are elements that are often that can often be lost in the literacy curriculum. And I know that that a lot of work is being done by many teachers to try and improve those skills among young children. So it would be great to see an example of a practical application of the technology to improve those. That would be fantastic. And Joan, where then does the website come into this? So you have the website, and are you providing the website as a platform where schools can safely upload, where there'll be plenty space and good broadband access, so that they can then, you can host their podcasts and their enhanced podcasts with the images on your website. Yes. Is that the idea?
Yes, that's the idea. Really, we have no limit to the number of the space that each school can use. So basically, fantastic. We're encouraging as many schools as possible to sign up, but also to use it as extensively as possible. Yes. They upload. We provide them with a username and password. So once somebody is interested in subscribing to it, we provide a username and password, and then that allows them to upload their website, their particular final products, final podcasts, to the website. If a child is uploading it from home as a piece of homework, for example, it's uploaded. However, it doesn't go live until it's approved by their teacher.
Very good.
So that's the safety mechanism that's built into the site. So there's nothing on the site that's ever inappropriate. Everything has been moderated by an adult, by a teacher or the school administrator, whoever's been assigned in the school to moderate or to approve all podcasts. We're encouraging the platform really is there for all schools to upload to this particular site. And within that, they'll have their own school page.
Yes.
And they actually, one other, I suppose the added benefit of this particular feature is that within the school page, you can actually use it as a mini website as well. So for very small schools that don't have a website, they can, for example, add in a little bit of a blurb about the background. They can upload information about their staff. They can have, there's a calendar, a live calendar there, so they can add in different events that are up and coming, or closures, school closures, or holidays and whatever. So they can use it as a mini website as well to communicate more effectively with parents and people in the home. So, it has a number of other sort of additional benefits, even in addition to the fact that it hosts as a platform for podcasts and children's work.
Brilliant. And finally, I suppose, just to clarify, this is obviously, this is a service and it is funding your other activities in the charity. So yeah. What's the fee? And also, do you have schools from the Republic of Ireland currently enrolled in the project? I see there that there's one school from Guatemala. And if schools from the South are interested in participating, how do they get on to you and all those kind of details?
Sure, yeah. Yes, well, first of all, there is a fee. It depends on the size of the school, but our starting fee is about £300 or so, and that includes full day's training, a setup fee, and then there's no limit, as I say, to the number of the space that you require to upload your podcast. So that's the sort of fee scale wise. Mm-hmm. If you're a very large school, we have to scale up slightly accordingly. But overall, it's not particularly expensive to actually have you access to the site and have a username and password and to have access to unlimited space on that website.
Yes.
We, in terms of any organisation or schools that are using it, at the moment we're based in Belfast. However, we have a number of schools now interested in the south of Ireland. We have Killarney National School has just recently expressed an interest and has joined. We also have a number of Gaelic schools actually. Now we have an Irish language version of the school podcast, which is called www.tonta.org, TONNTA.org.
Mm-hmm.
And we have 9 Irish medium schools, one of which is in the Republic of Ireland, involved on that particular website. So it's the exact same process, except it's exclusively, it's
that's
in the Irish, it's
yeah.
in Irish language. So it's very, very useful for Gaelic schools. The whole feel of it is Irish, and that the language has been sort of been promoted in that way.
Mm-hmm.
If We have other schools. We have, yes, Guatemala. We have a link with an orphanage in Guatemala, and we're keen to have schools involved in maybe looking at how we can share across boundaries, so we're not seeing it as just as the island of Ireland, but hopefully make linkages beyond that. We've actually recently, in the last number of weeks, made a connection with the Shropshire Music Foundation, mm-hmm. and they're doing a project here in Belfast at the minute, but they also work in war-torn areas like Uganda and Kosovo, mm-hmm. and therefore there will be links now with those areas to this project as well.
So fantastic.
We kind of do encourage a sort of a wider use of the facility by schools beyond the boundaries, I suppose. Yes. And finally, I suppose if you are interested, I think I would have to refer you first of all to the website. Sign up to a free trial. You get a feel for how it works, how easy it is to upload material. Now, once you upload on a free trial, it doesn't go live, but you'll just see the process and you'll see how easy it is. And if you're interested in then, I mean, do come back to us. We send us an email, drop us a line, lift a phone to us. We're more than happy to have people on board. And, you know, I'm originally from Tipperary, so I'm very keen to see this used in the south of Ireland. Right. I think that, you know, there's room for all of these types of initiatives really have a huge benefit to bring to yes. modern education and to the education development and the literacy skills of our children.
Absolutely, Joan, and I think you have to be, and your colleagues have to be commended. I think it's a really innovative approach, and something that I think a lot of teachers and schools would be very interested in. And I think particularly, you know, there's always a requirement to see what others have done. And I would encourage people to go on to your website, and hopefully we'll get some people to sign up, and hopefully the project and the charity will go from strength to strength. And thank you for joining us this evening.